Strong headwinds slow down annual bike relay. And the Skagway Assembly is set to pass an FY19 budget. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Abby Collins. Those stories and more are up next. The Kluane Chilkat International Bike Relay marked its 25th year last weekend. And once again, weather presented a particular challenge for riders making the 150-mile trek from the Yukon to Haines. Matthias Purdon from Ontario was the first biker to cross the white finish line in Haines Fort Seward, breaking away from a pack of other riders. This isn't Purdon's first year making the journey from Haines Junction along the Haines Highway. He's done it twice before, and once, like this year, he rode the entire 150 miles solo.
Yeah, I did it 6 years ago, and it was like a much more challenging day than today. Like, it was rainy, and I got like kind of cold, and I remember being pretty, like, just kind of beat up at the end. And so I always wanted to do it again. Solo.
Racers can choose to ride in teams or do the whole thing. Despite going solo, Purdon says other riders were still essential to his success.
Even when you're like following someone and drafting, there's still that extra kind of resistance. And then when you're at the front, it's harder. So it sort of adds up. But at the same time, it makes the ride, it's sort of, everyone is a little more like reserved in their riding because you can't get away. Like on your own, you won't get anywhere.
Overall, this year's race was slow, thanks to the wind. Mike Kramer is the race coordinator.
You know, and I'm not a weather person, but in the 50 to 70 kilometers an hour range up around checkpoint 4, like we had an outhouse blow over. That's how windy it was up there.
According to race organizers, this year's fastest riders finished more than an hour later than the 2016 winners.
I think the snow we had last year got traded in for a very, very strong headwind, which made it very challenging for riders.
The 25th anniversary race was supposed to take place in 2017, but that event was canceled amid June snow in Haines Junction. Kramer estimates 50 to 70 teams were not able to finish this year's race. Road conditions on the U.S. side of the race. There's ongoing construction on the Haines Highway, and a section of the road is variable with uneven gravel. But Purdon says he prepared for it, and it wasn't an issue. Overall, Kramer says the quarter-century race was, quote, safe, but very hard. Last year, an unusually large number of Skagway residents ran for the borough assembly as write-in candidates. Now the assembly is considering simplifying the rules for counting write-in votes. It will hold a public hearing on an ordinance to that effect at a meeting Thursday. Also on the agenda is a public hearing on a resolution amending the borough employee pay scale. It would implement a cost of living allowance of 2% based on the Anchorage Consumer Price Index. The public will also have the chance to weigh in on the third reading and adoption of the FY19 budget. And the Assembly will consider a resolution declaring November 1st, 2018 through December 31st, 2018, a sales tax holiday for retail sales. Finally, the Assembly will meet an executive session to discuss legal issues related to planning for Skagway's port. The meeting is Thursday at 7 p.m. in Assembly Chambers. You can listen live through a link on our website, khns.org. Last month was what many fear may be a new normal for those in Southeast Alaska's sport fishing industry. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game did not allow anglers to keep any king salmon for 2 months this spring. The closure applied to most of the region's inside waters and was meant to conserve Chinook returning to Southeast rivers. In June, the agency opened fishing in a few spots with hatchery kings. KFSK's Alana Elder reports a couple of lodge owners in the Petersburg area seem unfazed by the restrictions, but a trade group says others in the industry are having a hard time.
Tim Harper runs a lodge off the Wrangell Narrows, and he says the shorter king salmon season hasn't hurt his business. Harper says he only really sends his guests to fish for kings in the Narrows, and before June, there just aren't enough salmon there to make it worth the time and money. And he says people come to his lodge for the chance to fish for a bunch of different species.
You got rockfish, you got halibut, you got salmon, and you have crab and shrimp.
Wendy Yates owns another lodge nearby and says king salmon fishing has been pretty slow so far.
It's starting to pick up a little bit. We've had some customers coming in the last 2 days. hasn't really affected business. People book about a year out, so for them, they really don't know what the rules are going to be when they come up.
Yates did get calls this spring from a few booked guests who had heard about closures and wanted to know if they'd still be able to fish for kings.
You know, basically we told them we don't know, but we figured that the terminal fishery would still be open, you know, at least for some king fishing. So they were fine with that because so much of Alaska was closed.
She says overall, kings aren't the species that draws people to her lodge.
Most people would rather have the volume of cohos versus, you know, the limitations on kings. There's just not as many. And, you know, there's a lot of species in the river later in August, you know, with pinks and chums and cohos.
So for Harper and Yates, cutting back on king salmon hasn't been a big deal. But their businesses are really similar. Both rent out boats and gear, and neither lead guided trips. For salmon, they usually send their guests to the Narrows, even when the other inside waters are open. So if they haven't been affected, that doesn't mean no one has. Several other charters and guide businesses did not return calls, but Southeast Alaska Guides Organization Executive Director Samantha Weinstein, who advocates for charter and lodge operators, says this year has been rough for state biologists as well as people in the industry.
Those decisions are really hard for fisheries managers, and there's definitely a perception of unfairness when certain management doesn't make sense to the operators.
Weinstein explains some on the inside waters resented that anglers could still fish this spring on the outer coast.
Which means that during times of no retention for Ketchikan and Wrangell and Petersburg and Juneau, there's still an opportunity to catch a king salmon if you go out fishing in Sitka, or if an operator from Gustavus goes, you know, further outside. And same for Prince of Wales Island.
Fish and Game said this was the most efficient way to protect wild stocks because a greater proportion of the kings caught from inside waters are wild compared to those caught on the open ocean. Another frustration, according to Weinstein, is that operators had to tell clients about the closures on rather short notice, and some of them had already called the same clients in January after the Alaska Board of Fisheries meeting. Weinstein says the restrictions announced in March were more widespread than what many had anticipated.
You run your business on the trust of your clients and your ability to provide a really great Alaska experience.
For some guides and visitors, catching a wild king salmon is the experience. For others, like Harper and Yates and their guests, it's more about the chance to successfully catch a variety of fish. That strategy may make it easier to adjust to changes in other fisheries besides king salmon. In Petersburg, I'm Alana Elder.
For KHNS News, I'm Abby Collins.